brothers and sisters in Islam, it's a great privilege and it's my pleasure to be here with you today and to share with you the issue or shedding light upon the issue of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the attributes, divine attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knowing the Allah names and his attributes undoubtedly increases one's iman, and it increases the fear of Allah in one's iman, in one's heart. And the reason actually we human beings perpetrate and commit sins because we don't know Allah. Due to the lack of knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why we commit sins. So all those who perpetrate and commit sins, they are ignorant. And Allah says that the repentance and the tawbah will be only granted to those who commit sin out of ignorance. الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ. So those who commit sins, they are ignorant. So when you sin and you commit the sin, you sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are jahil, no doubt. And you know the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he said that the one who commits zina is not mu'min at that moment. لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن ولا يسرق السارق حين يسرق وهو مؤمن. At that particular moment, when the person commits adultery, fornication, at that moment the iman is removed. So he doesn't think about anything except satisfying and fulfilling his desire. At that moment. The same thing when he commits theft, when he steals. He's not a mu'min. The hadith says that the iman will be removed from him and it will be above his head, covering him or shading him. Once he finishes that shameful deed and act, the iman comes back and the guilt starts. And that ill feeling and the you feel horrible. You feel horrible. So the issue of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via and through his names and attributes is very essential. Very, very essential. And as you know, the sin and the good deed, hasana and sayya, good deed and misdeed, the scholars say that the shaitan adorns and beautifies the misdeed. Because actually misdeeds are ugly in reality. So because of this ugliness of the sin itself, it has to be beautified. Artificial beauty has to be added to it in order to pull you into it. Okay? So you see the shaitan tries to make you feel, the scholars they say, the sweetness of the sin precedes its occurrence. Before the sin happens, what you taste and what you feel is only the sweetness of it. You feel it's good, well, I'm going to date with this girl, or I'm going to have her, etc., etc. So these good feelings and sweetness of this sinfulness, that what precedes. And the bitterness delays. The bitterness of the sin, you will not taste it in advance. No. You start tasting the bitterness of the sin after doing the sin. And that bitterness will remain with you till you enter the grave. It will never leave you. Whereas the hasana, are you following? Whatever sin you committed, it will be always there. And the bitterness of that sin will be always there. And that's why an indication of the sincere tawbah, that whenever you remember your sins, you turn to Allah and ask forgiveness. Whenever you remember your sins, you cry. Not that when you remember your sins, you crave and you want to go back, or you feel happy about it. And for every particular sin that you committed in the past, whenever you recall it and remember it, ask forgiveness. And if your sins are so many, and it's difficult for you to recall all of them, then you generalize. And you ask Allah to forgive all your sins. Whereas the hasana, which is the good deed, what happens? The bitterness precedes its happening. The bitterness. It is Fajr time. You want to get up. It's cold. Okay. The warmth of the bed is so nice. The atmosphere is so good, cozy. Okay. You don't want to leave that. And so it's very difficult for you to get up. And someone is pulling you down. No, it's still time. Okay? Sleep half an hour, 5 minutes. Right? So you feel bitterness and difficulty to get up. If you struggle and manage to get up and take wudu and go to the masjid and pray, sweetness after the salah. And your whole day you are happy. True or not? See the opposite? The whole day you are light, happy. Though what preceded its happening and occurrence is the bitterness, difficulty. It's not good to leave the bed. Whereas the sin is the opposite. See, something magnetic is attracting you. But immediately after finishing the sin, your bad day starts. So in this few minutes with you, brothers, the topic is a vast topic, I have to admit. I will just try to shed light on three main points. The importance of the knowledge itself with the ilm, that we should know about Allah Azza wa Jal, and know about the deen in general. And it's high time, brothers and sisters, are they sisters or only brothers? Okay. It's high time to dedicate time for learning the deen. Are you ready to dedicate? Every day, daily basis, at least 1 hour for Allah's deen. On a regular basis. 24 hours, we want only 1 hour for Allah's deen. We need to learn our deen. Why we need to learn our deen? We want to learn our deen so that we know Allah. So that we worship Allah properly and correctly. That is why we need to learn the deen. Allah made it very clear in His book in many places. And He said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Most certainly, those who fear Allah most are the ulama. Those who fear Allah most are the learned men. Not the ignorant, the learned men. The Salaf, our pious predecessors, they said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ الْخَشْيَةِ. Verily, ilm, the knowledge, is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To fear Allah. If you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are a scholar. If you fear Allah. But if you don't fear Allah, even you have many PhDs, okay, then you are still ignorant. Because the real knowledge is the fear of Allah. To fear Allah. Imam Ahmad, his son asked him about Bishr al-Hafi. Bishr al-Hafi is one of the pious men. He said, "Oh my father, the scholars of hadith, they say Bishr al-Hafi is not a scholar, but he's a pious man." He said, "Oh my son, what is the use of knowledge? What's the need of it if one doesn't become like Bishr? We are striving to learn the deen to become like him, and he's already there." So it is the fear of Allah. So we need to dedicate time for learning the deen. The second thing, which is the names and attributes of Allah. The names and attributes of Allah, how many? Who knows the names? How many are the names of Allah? 99 names. Okay, good point. Alright. Okay. The names of Allah, they are more than 99 names. Okay? So we need today to know that the names of Allah are more than 99 names. Only what we know of. Not exactly what we know of. Whoever memorizes and understands and acts upon 99 names of Allah, then he will enter the Jannah. So the names of Allah are more than 99 names, even today. And if you want the proof, you see this scholar compiled 99 names of Allah, and this scholar compiled 99 names of Allah. Some of the names are common, some are not there. This proves what? That there are more than 99 names. But the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot derive. So they are not derivative names. We don't derive names for Allah. Because we normally derive names for things. Okay? But the names of Allah, they are totally dependent upon the text. If they are mentioned in the text in the Quran or the Sunnah, we accept them. So no one can come with a name and say this is a divine name or this is the name of Allah. No. Sorry. So the name has to exist either in the book of Allah, in the Quran, or in the authentic Sunnah, authentic. Maybe in the Sunnah, but it is not authentic, it's weak tradition. Weak hadith, for instance. We cannot say this is the name of Allah. For instance, Ar-Rashid is not one of the names of Allah. Okay? And what you see at the end of the Quran, the 99 names, this hadith, it's a weak hadith. Okay? So the name has to be authentic, has to be mentioned in the authentic text, in the authentic Sunnah. Okay? So the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are more than 99 names, and the evidence. What's the proof that there are more than 99 names? Is the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is known as the dua al-mustajab. This dua, if you memorize it and supplicate to Allah by this dua, I'm sure you have the Husn al-Muslim, Fortress of the Muslim. It's there, so memorize it. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Allahumma inni abduka wa ibnu abdika wa ibnu amatika, ناصيتي بيدك ماض في حكمك عدل في قضاؤك أسألك اللهم بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك." This is the keyword. أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي ونور بصري وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي وغمي. So this beautiful dua, but the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is expressing his humility and his servitude to Allah. اللهم إني عبدك. Verily, O Allah, I am your slave. I am your slave. I am the son of your slave. And I am the son of your amah, the female slave. Because all of us are slaves of Allah. All of us. And to be a slave of Allah, this is indeed honor. It is. Allah Azza wa Jal in his book, when he praised his prophet, he said, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram min al-masjid al-aqsa. Glory be to him who took his slave on the night journey from Mecca to the further masjid. So to be a slave, because either you will be a slave of Allah or slave of many things. You be a slave of the job. Okay? You be a slave for women. You be a slave for many things. Those people, they think they are free. They are not free. They are slaves. If you want to be really free, you should become a slave of Allah. That's it. Then you are free. Because then you will not be enslaved by anyone. You will not be. Because you chose to be a slave only for Allah. And Allah to be your master. But if you don't want to be a slave of Allah, then you will be enslaved. And you know what the Prophet ﷺ said? Ta'isa Abdul Dinar, Ta'isa Abdul Khamisa, Ta'isa Abdul Qatifa. Woe to him, the worship of the dirham, the worship of the dinar. Have you seen people worshipping dirham and dinar? The euro and the pound? Putting the pound and prostrate for the pound? No. But he's going the pound. By hook or crook. It's not irrespective whether it's halal or not. So his objective is that pound or the dollar. So then he's worshipping it. So he is a slave. On football and sport in general, see the term they're using, buying and selling. So-and-so club bought so-and-so for this amount. You know this or not? Buying and selling, that is what? Slavery. It's just slavery. This club owns you. They even interfere in your diet. Right? You can't eat this because you'll put on weight. For those models, and so you are a slave. You can't even eat what you like. Says, no, you are not allowed to eat this. Because this is going to affect your performance. So imagine. So in this dua, the Prophet, he is expressing that I am a slave of your slave. Then he said in the dua, that hadith, this dua is very, very important, brothers. If you feel depressed, okay, feel narrowness in your chest, you feel unhappy, say it, and you will see the effect immediately. Immediately you will feel the relief. Then he said, O Allah, I ask you by all your names, by every name, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak, every name of yours, that you called yourself by it, or that you revealed it in any of the scriptures, or that you kept it with you. So there are names Allah kept with him. This is what we want to know. That there are names only known by Allah. So there are more than 99 names. Now the names of Allah, which are more than 99 names, and I want you, when you are reading the Quran, pay attention to the end of the ayah. How Allah terminates the verse. You'll find the name suits the context. The termination is not haphazardly happened. No. Carefully chosen. So pay attention when you are ending, see the end of the ayah, see the name.
If you try to put another name, the meaning will be different. Though Allah's names, now I want to raise this question. I want it to be a little bit interactive. Are Allah's names synonymous? Are Allah's names synonymous? Are Allah's names the same or different? Different. So, Baba is the same, different. Anyone who's saying the same? Okay. So, listen. Allah's names are synonymous and not synonymous. Is this a riddle? No, it's not a riddle. Allah's names are synonymous in the sense that all are the names of Allah. So all are qualifying the same person. So from that perspective, Allah's names are synonymous. What's the proof? Allah says, قُلُ ادْعُوا اللَّهَ وَادْعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Okay? Clear? Call upon Allah, or call upon the Rahman. Whatever name you chose, all the beautiful names belong to Allah. From this angle and this perspective, the names of Allah, they are synonymous. Whether you call Ar-Rahman, you call Ar-Razzaq, you call Al-Wahhab, you are calling whom? The same one, Allah. I remember back home, I was giving a lecture, and then question time, a non-Muslim lady, she said, I said, how the Christians can explain to us the Trinity, three in one? She said, I will explain it. I said, okay, explain it to me. She said, you see, you are a teacher, you are a father, you are a husband, so you are three in one. I said, well done. You are three in one. I said, but indeed, I am more than that. I'm also a brother, I'm also an uncle. Okay. So I'm more than that, if that is the explanation. What you mentioned are only attributes of the same person. These are what? Attributes of the same person. That means a person can have more than one attribute, and his being, or his personality, or his essence will remain the same. Right? So Allah has many names, but it is the same essence, the same person. Where your Christians say, when we ask you, is the Father the Son? You say, no. Is the Holy Spirit the Son? You say, no. These are three different entities, three different persons. And then you say, they are one. How three persons can be one person? You are not saying that they are attributes of Allah. There are three deities. Three persons. So Allah's name, they are synonymous, that they are qualifying the same person. And that's Allah. And they are different, not synonymous, in the sense that every meaning of each name is different from the other. So from the meanings of the name, the attributes, because every name, brothers and sisters, carries within itself, we in Arabic say that the words which we articulate and we use, the words are actually molds or envelopes for the meaning. You put the meaning in the word and send it. Every word you articulate, you utter, it is an envelope. It's a mold carrying something. That is the meaning. Words are nothing. Okay? Words are only conveyor. It means to express what you want. When we made this container, we called it glass. Before making it, the word glass has no meaning. Right? So now that word glass has this mental picture there printed in the background. When you tell your little daughter, go and fetch me glass of water, she knows what's the meaning of that word glass, goes and bring you water in glass, not in the jug. Right? So the word amal. So they are the names of Allah. They are words. And they have meaning. The meaning of every name is the attribute. I cannot simplify it more than this. The meaning of the name is what? The attribute. Is this clear? Alhamdulillah. So, how many are the attributes of Allah? As many as His name. Because every name has an attribute. So now, when you read As-Sami'ah, all hearer, what do you understand? What is the attribute? Hearing, that Allah hears. When you read Al-Basir, the old seer, he's the one who sees. So Allah sees. Allah hears. When you read the name Ar-Razzaq, the provider, what does it mean, the provider? The one who provides. Okay? When you read the name Al-Hafiz, the protector, what does it mean, the protector? The one who protects you. So, now these are the names of Allah. When I believe in the name, I have to believe first of all that this is one of the names of Allah. I have to make sure that this is one of the names of Allah. Why I have to make sure? So that I call my child the slave of that name. So if I know that Ar-Razzaq is one of Allah's names, then I can call my child Abdul Razzaq. Because I am sure that this is one of the names of Allah. And I know Razzaq is whom? It's Allah. No problem. But if I'm not sure that this is one of the names of Allah, I cannot call my son Abd. Like what the Shia do. Abdul Nabi. Abdul Hussein. How can you enslave your child for human beings? No. But for Allah. So that's why I have to make sure that this is one of the names of Allah. So then I can call my son Abdul Razzaq. Or Abdul Wahab. Or Abdul Ghaffar. Whatever. Now. Second thing, understanding this name. What's the meaning of it? You don't learn the name without its meaning. So when you learn that this is one of the names, you should know the meaning of it. And that's the attribute of Allah. So far? Are we in line? Following me? Okay. Then now, okay, I know that this is one of the names of Allah. I know the meaning of it. But what is the fruit? What's the impact on the heart? I have to get something from this name. Not getting something in the sense, you know, some Muslim, double quotes, may Allah guide them. They say, every name has a secret. And you have to dig to find that secret. And how to reveal that secret? They say, take that particular name, and keep mentioning it. Okay? You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Alright, good. So for instance, you say, As-Sami'a, 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 As-Sami'a. Then finally, it will fade. There will not be anything. Allah, 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 Allah. And then, at the end, if you keep repeating, it will be, right? So, and you have to keep saying this for 100 times. Then you, this secret will come out. Like Ada Deen lamp, you know. Okay. This is wrong. No secrets, nothing. The impact of this name and the fruit of this name, that's what I read Ar-Razzaq.
So I know the meaning, the name of Razzaq. I know it's the one who provides. The fruit that I should not worry about my provision. I should not worry about my sustenance. Because Allah will take care of it. Allah is the provider. Is Allah the provider or the job?
Many people, they think it's the job the provider. How? He will do haram things to remain in that job. His boss tells him, do this, he will do it, though it is haram. Because he is afraid to lose it. So he will do the haram to please his boss. This person doesn't believe that Allah is the provider. Now, it's a lip service. It's not there in the heart. It's not in the heart. If it is there in the heart, what, the moment you are told to do haram, say sorry. Sorry. Where to go? There are no jobs. He will take care. Will he? Of course Allah will take care. Because He promised. He said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will create for him an exit. Will create for him an exit. And He will provide for him from sources he cannot imagine. He cannot imagine. Just fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And leave it to Him. You know, when Ibrahim alayhi salam, he left his son and his wife Hajar in Mecca. No one there. Hajar, she asked only one question. Ya Ibrahim, O Abraham, Allahu amaraka bihada. Is it Allah who sent you to leave us here? He nodded. He said, go. Leave us. He will never desert us. That's it. Leave us. Go. So if this is the fruit of Allah's name, if you know that Allah is the provider, the Muslim scholars, they say, the Muslim tires his body. He tires his body, but never his heart. What does it mean to tire the body, not the heart? You work hard. You sweat for your bread. And you go. And you work. You don't live on dole. Are you? I hope none. I hope none here. And if someone, tell him shame on you. There are many brothers, they're living begging the kuffar, sitting at home, doing nothing. And they say, we are dedicating the time for the da'wah. What a flimsy excuse. Shame on you. You are begging the kuffar. When the Prophet ﷺ said, the upper hand is better than the lower hand. And your hand is the lower. Go and tire your body. Go and work any job to gain your bread. So that at the end of the day you put your head, you relax, you sleep, and you feel you are a man. And I receive emails from the sisters. My husband is in Dole and he wants to marry a second wife. And he said, it's sunnah. MashaAllah. Sunnah. Sunnah, subhanAllah. Don't you know that a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, O Prophet of Allah, three men proposed they want to marry me. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, Abu Jahl and Usama. So choose for me. choose for me. The Prophet ﷺ told her, Muawiyah is a poor guy, don't marry him, he doesn't have anything. This means, when you want to marry, you have to be financially able. You have to open a house, and you have to look after your wife, because you are obligated to look after her. If you don't have a job, sorry. But he's a practicing brother. He's not a practicing brother. He's a practicing brother. He should go and work. I should not be fooled and deceived by the length of his beard and the shortness of his soul. That's the wrong criteria. So here the Prophet ﷺ said, Muawiyah is a fool guy. Don't marry him. Abu Jahl, second Sahabi, he said, he beats the woman. Don't marry him. So anyone who beats the woman, we don't accept him. That's why if someone comes and he says, you know, I'm looking for a sister. So do you know any sister? I say, first of all, I will not recommend any family to accept you. Because you are a hot-tempered person. Huh? And you still have jahili adab and qualities. Okay? So one who beats the woman, not recommended. Then he told her, marry Usama. That's the Prophet ﷺ. So if you want to marry a second wife and third wife, then you have to be a businessman. You have to have, mashallah, a lot of money to look after three wives or four wives. Because actually, to have more than one wife, that's the burden. It's not a joke. Huh? It's not fun, no. It's obligations and headache. Okay? So the names of Allah, when you know the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that should be, every name has impact on your heart. So that is the impact and the fruit of it. Take another name. Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim. That means the most gracious, most merciful. So what is the quality? Ar-Rahma, mercy. So Allah has this quality. What is the impact? What's the effect? That I should not despair. I should not lose hope. Because I'm sure everyone has his own black past, black record. This name, Ar-Rahim, should not make him despair and lose hope. That's why we balance things, brothers, according to the belief of Ahlul Sunnah, that we fly, a person fly with two wings like a bird. One wing is hope, the other wing is fear. Hope, fear, hope, fear. Okay? And we raise the wing of hope till it is nearly touching the sky. Then we lower it. Because if we just rely on the hope, this might push us to commit sins. So then we lower it and raise the ring of fear. For instance, if yourself is telling you, do this, do something haram. Then start to remember the grace, the punishment, hellfire, read about the hellfire, so that you balance things. If you start to feel that you will lose hope, oh, I'm going to hell, you know. I'm sure I'm going to hell. Then read about Allah's rahmah. And the one who killed 99, and then he completed 100, and Allah forgave him. So that's how you balance things. And when you are breathing your last, when you are dying, then I raise the wing of fear or hope. When I'm dying, hope, only hope. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahih Muslim, said, لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله. When one is dying, he should not die except with having good hope and confidence in Allah that He will forgive him.
Okay? So never give the shaitan a chance so that to take you again to Jahiliyyah. Okay? Now, so when we Zarahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, I don't know how much left. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created 100 rahmah. This rahmah is not an attribute of Allah because it's created. Because the rahmah which is an attribute of Allah is not created. This is created, 100 rahmah. خَلَقَ اللَّهُ 100 rahmah. So Allah created 100 rahmah, 100 mercy. And He sent only one to earth. And 99, He kept with Him. Okay? And because of this one, a mother feels kind, shows kindness, because only of this one, which is one of 100 of the mercies, this, the kindness and the warmth your mother shows towards you, and the one you show towards your children, and the Prophet ﷺ said, and even because of this one part of the 100 rahmas, that the mare, the horse, lifts its hoof in order not to step over its babe, because of that. And the 99 rahmah He kept with Him for the Day of Judgment. For the Day of Judgment, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will envelop the believers by His mercy. May Allah envelop us in His mercy. This Allah, this Rabb is so kind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one of the hadith, when they bring the captives, the asra, prisoners of war, a woman was roaming around, running crazy, looking for her child. And then she found her child, and she hugged the child. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba were watching. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, do you think this mother will throw her child into the fire? They said, impossible. See her madness, how she was mad looking and searching for her child. It's impossible that this mother will throw her child into the fire. He said, Allah loves us more than this loves her child. Allah loves you more than your mother, brother and sister. This is the Lord. If He loves you more than your mother and your sister, and your more than your mother, don't worry. Love Him. That's why Allah has to be loved. And His love has to be engraved in the heart. For many reasons. He's your creator. He's your cherisher. He's your sustainer. He's your fashioner. Who fashioned you? Allah. He protects you. He takes care about you. Even when you were a child in your mother's womb, you were helpless as an embryo or fetus in your mother. You were helpless. So what's feeding you?
Allah.
Through the navel cord. Your mother eats the food, passes it to you. He protected you. And He placed you in such a position that it was the most secure position in the body. And if you see the anatomy of man and woman, you'll see the man always broader on top and narrower downward. Right? And the woman the opposite. Right? You understand? So the woman will be broader down and narrower on top. Right? Why? Because that is the part where it is going to have the baby. So it has to be wider. It has to be wider to accommodate the child. And where Allah put the womb, see, it's surrounded by bone or cage of bones, protected.
And then the way you are situated in the womb, you are placed. Your front part is soft. First of all, Allah encased you with a bag full of fluid. That's the placenta. Why the fluid? Shock absorber. Yes. If something happens, the fluid absorbs the shock. Then, the womb. Then, the abdomen. Three layers. And your front part is soft. So he protected this soft part by the back of the mother. In your mother's womb, your face is facing her back. And your back is towards her abdomen, her belly. You are the opposite. So if something happens, if the mother is hit back, the back will protect you, her back. And your backside is stronger than your front side, so also it will withstand if there is a hit or there is a shock. So he protected you. And he was providing food for you for 9 months in your mother's womb. Now you came to this life. You are born. In your mother's womb, the only way, the only source of food for your sisters was the navel cord. The moment now you come out, they cut it. So, where can I receive food from? In your mother's womb, it was only one source. Now there are two breasts waiting for you. Instead of one, you have two. And he programmed you immediately to go and suckle. So now you have two ways to receive food, two breasts. After 2 years, they wean you. What is the alternative? Instead of two, you have money now. You have milk, you have food, rice, you have cereal, you have all types of food. So when Allah blocks away, He opens another. And more and more and more. And the ways will never be blocked except by your death when you die. Okay? So when you learn the names of Allah, contemplate and ponder and reflect upon the names of Allah. So every name has impact in your heart. The mercy, I will not worry. Because I know my Lord. I will never lose hope. Irrespective of the amount of sins I commit. You know, brothers, there is a salah known as Salat al-Tawbah. You know this. There's a prayer called prayer of repentance. Salat al-Tawbah. If you commit a sin, go and pray to rakat. The shaitan will tell you, what, you are playing with Allah? You just finished the haram, now you are praying? Say, yes, I will pray. In the hope that he will forgive me because you deceived me. Okay? Always turn to Allah. Never listen to the shaitan. Shaitan, for instance, will come to you and say, you pray and you are doing haram. What's the use of this prayer? Leave it. No. Never leave the salah. Never leave it. A brother, an Arab brother, he was in the United States. So the brothers visited him and they found him praying on the dining table. On the dining table praying. Say, well, something happened to him. He said, why are you praying? He said, this is the only clean area in the apartment. The whole apartment, they have parties at night. He's playing, flirting out. But he still prays. Alhamdulillah, as long as you maintain the salah, inshallah, this salah one day will stop you. Because the hadith says, when the sahaba, they asked the Prophet ﷺ about a man who prays, but he is also doing other things. He's doing haram things. He told them, إِنَّ صَلَاتَهُ سَتَنْهَا. Verily and most certainly, his salah one day will stop him. This is the authentic hadith. The other hadith which is not authentic, which you might hear in Friday prayer, that the one in الذي لم تنهو صلاته عن الفحشاء والمنكر فلا خير فيه ولا في صلاته, he who doesn't his salah stop him from committing haram, there's no good in him, there's no good in his salah. This hadith is not authentic. The authentic hadith says that verily and most certainly the salah one day will stop him. And this is not an invitation to listen the sins or to make them light. No. No. But it is an invitation to repent, and it's an invitation to love your Creator more than before. So that is about the name. The last point I would like to shed light upon, it is the correct way or methodology to deal with Allah's name. The correct methodology is the methodology of the Sahaba and the second generation, third generation, which we call them as the terminology As-Salaf As-Salih, the pious Buddhists. That they accept the names and the attributes and they act upon the attributes of Allah. Why? Because there are deviant sects, many, many sects around. The many sects around who, for instance, I'll just mention names and I'll leave it for questions. There is a school known as Ash'ari school. They only approve of seven attributes of Allah. Okay? Nuh Hamkala. You know Nuh Hamkala? He's one of them. He's belonging to this school. They only approve of seven name qualities of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we say the qualities of Allah as many as the names. And they are only proving seven qualities. Are there any Arabs here? Okay. So the one of their, the Ash'ari poet, he phrased it in poetic phrase by saying, حَيٌّ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ وَالْكَلَامُ لَهُ إِرَادَةٌ وَكَذَلِكَ السَّمْعُ وَالْبَصَرُ. Only seven. Hayyun, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ever living. Alimun, the all-knower. Kareemun, Hayyun Alimun. Hayyun Alimun. Qadirun, the all-powerful. وَالْكَلَامُ لَهُ, that he speaks. إِرَادَةٌ, the will. وَكَذَلِكَ السَّمْعُ وَالْبَصَرُ, the hearing and the sight. So these are the qualities the Ash'ari they prove of. How about the rest? These are the Ash'ari. Other school known as Jahmiyyah, Jahmites, followers of one deviant founder known as Al-Jahm ibn Safwan, who used to say in his sujood, Subhana Rabbi al-Asfal, not Rabbi al-A'la, because he doesn't believe that Allah is above the creation. Those guys, this school, the Jahmiyyah, they only approve of names without meaning. Names without meaning. Allah is all-hearer, but he doesn't hear. All-seer, he doesn't see. What is this? This is nonsense. You give the name without meaning? All know without knowledge. And one Bedouin, you know the Bedouin? Okay. So he passed one day, and this Al-Jahm was teaching his followers by telling them this is the attribute, the name, but there is no meaning of the name. So immediately he refuted him on the spot by poem. And he said, أَلَا إِنَّ جَحْمًا كَافِرٌ دَانَ كُفْرُهُ وَمَنْ قَالَ يَوْمًا قَوْلَ جَحْمٍ فَقَدْ كَفَرٌ. Said, most certainly, Jahan is an open and cleanly embedded. Open embedded. And whoever says what he says, he is also an embedded. An apostate. لَقَدْ جُنَّ جَحْمٌ Jahan went crazy. If you send me إِلَاهَهُ سَمِيعًا بِلَا سَمْعٍ بَصِيرًا بِلَا بَصَرٍ He is indeed crazy. He lost his sanity. He calls his Lord and he qualifies his Lord that Allah is all hearer but he doesn't hear. All seer and he doesn't see. Doesn't make any sense. حَيٌّ عَلِيمٌ بِلَا عِلْمٍ رَضِيًّا بِلَا رِضَى That Allah is all know but he knows nothing. Then he told him, أَيُرْضِيكَ يَحْمٌ Will you accept this, O Jahan? لو قال قائل if someone says أبوك امرؤ حر خطير بلا خطر that your father is such a noble person he's a knight he's a brave man but no one is afraid of him he scares no one طويل بلا طول he's tall but he's not tall according to your criteria they are saying he's tall but he's not tall طويل بلا طول يخالف القصر but indeed he's short he's not tall أمدحا تراه is this a praise أمدحا تراه أم هجاء وسبة this is indeed dispraising you are not praising Allah you are insulting Allah كفاك الله حمقا يا أحمق البشر stop it you fool you're the most foolish person among mankind فَإِنَّكَ شَيْطَانٌ Indeed, you are a shaytan. بُعِثَّ لُؤُمَّةٍ A shaytan sent for a nation, for the Muslim, تُصَيِّرْهُمْ عَمَّا قَرِيبٍ إِلَى سَقَرٍ Soon you will drive them to the hellfire. If they follow you. So there are people following the Jahan. And they say names without meaning. So, the correct methodology the name and the meaning of the name and the impact on your heart of that name. This how you worship Allah. This is the meaning that who counts 99 names of Allah will enter the Jannah. Not that you count them on your fingers without understanding them, without acting and putting them into practice. No, that's not the meaning of it. We'll take one name, Al-Basir. Allah sees, He's all-seer. He sees everything. So the sight is one of the attributes of Allah. So what is the impact on you? That you will not see haram thing, right? Because he sees you. That means you should not watch the television. Oh, this is too much, is it? Wrong, huh? See? So we don't believe that he sees us. It's one of the two. Do you believe? You should feel shy, shameful. He's seeing us as we are watching, you know, the camera moving. Huh? Those X-rated, you know, after the kids go to bed. You start watching. Or you move from one side to another side and the next. And he's watching, he's seeing you. You don't feel shame? Do you believe that he sees you? So if you feel, will you do that if your father is watching you? Will you? No. Your mother? No. Your dirty daughter? No. Allah. He's watching you. You don't want to stop? I'm serious. Because I know. Many people that are doing that. Though when you see him in the street, he looks like a Sahabi. Yes? Others. Look into your heart. It's high time to face the reality. It's high time to admit. Because one day we will be standing in front of Him. Enough is enough. If you fear that Allah sees you, then feel shame, feel shy. That shyness should stop you from committing these things. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unplug me and you in His mercy, to forgive us all our sins in the past.
and to grant us the strength to resist the temptations of the shaitan in all forms. Amen. Amen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.